Major support for Louisiana Eats on WWNO provided by Zatarain's, proud producers of authentic New Orleans-style cuisine. Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889.
From WWNO New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. Happy animals produce better tasting meat. South Carolina farmer Emil DeFelice has some of the happiest and most delicious pigs to be found in the U.S. today. Emil shares his animal husbandry philosophies with us. And then, closer to home, Mississippi farmer Justin Pitts tends a very old local herd of cattle, the Piney Woods. We'll learn what makes them so suited to our area and just how beefy they really taste. I'll have mine with chimichurri sauce on this week's Louisiana Eats. The New York Times recently identified Emil DeFelice as a Southern farmer who was vanquishing the cliches. Emil raises heritage breed pigs at Caw-Caw Creek Farms in Columbia, South Carolina, in what he describes as a managed wild setting. New York Times writer Julia Moskin also noted that it's easy to get Emil riled up. Emil, I hear you don't look like a Southern pig farmer.
What? I'm going to hit the roof of my Prius if you keep it up, Poppy.
So what's a Southern pig farmer supposed to look like?
That is the question, you know, and that sort of like gets right to the point of the article. Like, what is Southern food supposed to look like? What's a Southern, am I supposed to go around overalls, rubber boots, stinking to high heaven all day? I don't think so. You know, I bathe, I use cutlery, I have indoor plumbing, the works. There you go. That's, you know, a part of, you know, a good way to look at that question that they were talking about, which is, what is this Southern food? You know, we're on a phenomenon of Southern culture and Southern food and slow food and sustainable farming and all that. And it's great for some time just to grow and have cheerleading. And at some point down the line, you have to get critical and ask different questions, maybe harder questions.
Well, I'd like you to tell our audience a little bit about your farming practices at Caw-Caw Creek, some of the things that set you apart from a traditional pig farmer.
Well, Caw-Caw Creek really is a traditional pig farmer. And so it's, what do we call conventional now and what do we call traditional? So if you just rewind, say, 75 years or something like that, everybody did what Caw-Caw Creek is doing now, and certainly what other folks around the country are attempting to do, which is to raise old breeds of hogs outdoors to proper weights without the use of trickery, synthetic drugs. Otherwise, all my pigs vote Republican and go to church and don't gamble or drink. So it's just an old-fashioned way of raising pigs, and what that means on the ground, if you were to see it. Imagine a big wagon wheel, and the different sections between the spokes are the areas where the animals would be rotated through periodically, in which they get after that area pretty good. Then open the gate, move them to the next spot.
Emil, I know that your farm is certified humane. Would you explain the benefits of that and how that affects your business?
Yeah, that's the most stringent and respected animal welfare certification in the United States. And it exceeds the other types of certifications, be they third party or, in most cases, self-certification. Put it this way. A sick pig, an unhappy pig, an unhealthy pig, costs money and doesn't do anyone any good. So when you have a system that promotes the animal's health and well-being, you get naturally a more uniformly healthy animal, and in essence, they are allowed to take care of themselves, you know, in a way that's better in some ways than we could take care of them if we had our hands on every single one of them inside a barn or something like that. So treating them a certain way, you know, helps them grow and then ultimately taste better on the plate because you've given them a low-stress life.
Having that certification is sort of rare in the United States, isn't it?
Well, there's a ton of different certifications. Certified Humane, which you can find at certifiedhumane.org, is the most stringent of them all, for sure. You know, one of the challenges is that the slaughterhouse also has to be certified humane because they cover the whole process. So in that instance, our packing plant had to buy a fairly expensive, you know, machine and have it carted over here from Denmark. And we put down the animals in the same way a veterinarian would put down a cat or a dog. And that really brings it home because obviously millions and millions and millions of people love their pets at home. And those same people often ask producers about the well-being of the animal and so forth because they don't want to be moral relativists. They want to treat animals right across the board. And it's a good thing to be able to tell them what we do, how we do it, and that other people recognize us as truthful and good at what we do.
I know that you employ a master swine herder. This is something else I've never heard of before. What is that?
Well, Poppy, I thought I was a master swine herder, but I was wrong. For many years, I did this by myself, and I learned a lot, and I was okay at it. But then in came Eufren Curo Ramos from Bolivia. And Eufren is old school, to put it mildly. He carries a machete. He's only in his late 20s or something like that, but doesn't trouble me with a bunch of Lowe's receipts, doesn't need to ask me for permission to repair something, just gets after it with his own resources. So he's a terrific farm manager, and then the way in which he takes care of the pigs is unsurpassed in America. I would put him up against anybody and everybody. It's incredible. He sleeps with the pigs.
He does not.
He does. When they're sick, when they have a problem, he brings them home, and if they're the right size, as in not 200 pounds, you sleep with them.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. But I advocate this for any farmer, let alone livestock farmer, but it's difficult to do. But keeping solid track of your inventory and records on each and every animal, and that's been a great learning experience, too. If a pig literally has a scratch or some type of disturbance, it gets noted.
Mm-hmm.
There's hundreds of pigs, and we know on paper at least, every single one of them. And going through there is a terrific experience because they know us and we know them.
Well, you're obviously taking extraordinary care of your pigs, and I'm sure that that translates into the product on the plate. How do you market your meat, and who's buying it?
Well, I'll take the plate question first. Even if you weren't into animal welfare per se, I mean, I've had people come up to me before and tell me that they didn't care about the certified humane element, it translates to meat quality. So if you have a stressful day, you as a human being, your radio show isn't going right or whatever, your shoulders seize up, you get sore and all that, and in an animal, that is tough meat. So when your brain sends a message to the muscle that it is stressed, it comes with chemicals in it that toughen the meat. So that's why you want a calm atmosphere and gentle treatment and humane death even, so that when it gets to the plate, it's the very best it can be. And that's the problem with industrial agriculture. When you go into the big box stores and see 15-20% injected water, et cetera, what they're trying to do at the very end with all the flavorings and all the brine and all the other stuff is correct for problems that happened preconception.
Yeah.
That go all the way down the line to their unfortunate death. And
yeah,
the whole thing is stressful. The whole thing makes lousy meat, and we avoid it all. So who do we sell to? We sell to chefs all across America via FedEx, callcalkree.com. My chefs usually call me. We figure out a deal dependably or whatever.
Well, I want to talk about how weary you are of the southern stereotype of cooking, like cheap fried chicken and Crisco crust. And I've even heard you kind of diss about shrimp and grits. So what is southern food to you?
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not, and we are not, a cartoon. Like, if you were Italian-American person from New Jersey and everyone asked you if you were in the mafia, would it get sort of tiresome?
Sure.
Exactly. We're not all on The Sopranos, right? So that's what it's like for me, and certainly a lot of other people in the South, is that grating image of certain big-haired, overly cheerful and bossy Southern women on TV, come on. And then, unfortunately, like, that becomes a projected image, and those kinds of images are, you know, are rhetorical ambassadors, if you will.
So I understand you have some political ambitions.
Well, I would say less political ambitions than ambition to correct agriculture as is the status quo in the state and nation today. That's my goal, being a politician, or particularly running for commissioner of agriculture here in South Carolina, is just one tool that you can use to accomplish that goal. So I have less political goals and more towards the practical in the agricultural realm.
Emil DeFelice, agent of change, right?
If you say so, Poppy. Emil DeFelice, tired fellow.
I know.
Well, needs a break.
Thank you so much for taking the time out and away from those pigs to chat with us. So, thanks.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Emil DeFelice, pig farmer of the New South. Now it's time for our Louisiana Eats Culinary Quiz Question of the Week, brought to you with support from French Market Coffee. The correct answer to last week's question, what is the name of the Eat Local group whose annual 200-mile food challenge ends on June 30th, is the NOLA Locavores. In this, their only second year of encouraging people to spend a month eating strictly local, over 500 folks participated in the challenge and had a lot of fun doing it, too. Now let's see who this week's lucky winner is. Thomas Walsh, our Louisiana Eats producer, is manning the grinder.
It's brutally hot in Louisiana, and if you're like me, you're not going outside unless you're going poolside. I'm not lollygagging around in the sun, and I doubt many of you are out there either. A good way to pass the languid days of summer is to actually partake in our culinary quiz. Chandler Moore did it, and he's this week's winner. Congratulations to you, Chandler. You've won this week's prize, and to everyone else out there, stay cool.
Our lucky winner will be receiving 3 full-size bags of French Market coffee, including dark roast with chicory, and French roast. This week's question is, what is the name that the fish sheep's head is also commercially sold as? All correct answers received will be mixed together in our French Market coffee grinder, and one lucky winner will be chosen at random and announced on next week's show. Again, this week's question is, what is the name that the fish sheep's head is also commercially sold as? Email those answers by midnight Sunday night to LouisianaEats@wwno.org with culinary quiz in the subject line, and you could be next week's lucky winner. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. Although not as common as vegetables at farmers markets, beef, pig, and poultry is often part of the mix. New Orleans Crescent City Farmers Market boasts of a vendor who only deals in rare heritage breed animals. We're here at the market to learn more about those animals and the rare breed who tends them, rancher Justin Pitts. Justin, welcome back to Louisiana Eats.
It's good to be back, Poppy. Thank you.
Tell us what you're offering here at the market today.
Well, today we have kind of a limited offering. We've got beef and pork. We're kind of down to nothing but ground beef right now, but my beef and pork, my lamb, my goat all comes from heritage breeds livestock that I have raised all my life and that have been passed down to me from one generation from the next.
Well, I know one of the animals that I was particularly interested in is something that we put on the Slow Food Arc of Taste, the Piney Woods cattle. How rare is the Piney Woods cattle? Tell us about it.
The Piney Woods cattle are classed as critical with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, which means their numbers are less than 2,000. They were the predominant breed from the edge of South Carolina all the way into East Texas in times past, but due to modern farming practices, they have all but disappeared.
How did they get here?
The Spaniards brought them. The coastal South was a part of the Spanish colony, and the Spaniards have always been herders, and all of the livestock that we consider traditional or native in the coastal plain South are of Spanish origin.
My motto, eat it to save it, fits your work to a T. I know the idea of eating an animal that is just coming back from the brink of extinction might seem counterintuitive to some of our listeners. So would you explain how breed population is monitored and managed?
Well, when you say eat it to save it, this is correct. It gives the animals a job. Since I have been coming to the Crescent City Farmers Market, I've kept all of my heifers back, which are the juvenile cows. They will in turn be bred. They will have calves, and they will have bull calves. And these calves, not all of them are necessary for the reproduction of the breed, because one bull can cover many cows. So these are made into steers. They're grown out, and then they're processed, and I bring them to market for all my good friends here in New Orleans to enjoy.
What's different about the taste of your meat?
Well, the age of the cattle affects the flavor of the meat as well as the diet. These steers are older. Most of the commercial breeds are slaughtered under a year and a half. Here in the United States, my steers are 3, sometimes 4 years old, and they're feeding in the woods and in the creek swamps around home. They're feeding on a variety of plants that most other breeds of livestock could not or would not eat. It aids them in parasite resistance. They will eat certain plants that have known, like Ampelmintix, which helps rid them from internal parasites. So it makes a difference, the diet that they eat, compared to the diet that most commercial cattle get, which is a grain-based diet.
So your meat is all chemical-free, and it's raised in a, well, I guess people are accustomed to that term, grass-fed. Your beef is really swamp-fed, right?
This is true. In the wintertime, the cattle will migrate into the creek swamps, and they'll feed on the mast, which is oak acorns, reed cane, palmetto fronds. So it makes a difference in the type of meat it is. And, yes, it is chemical-free. I don't use any chemicals, hormones, or growth promoters on my livestock because, as I tell my customers, I raise it for me first.
I know you've caught the attention of some of New Orleans' greatest chefs. Can you share with us who's buying your meat?
Yes, Josh Smith from Amano is a regular customer, and so is Steven Strajewski from Koshan. I've been fortunate to get to know these fine gentlemen, and I really appreciate what they do with my product and the appreciation that they have for my product.
What's the greatest challenge of your work?
The biggest challenge right now is the processing. Processing is difficult. The government cracked down on the smaller farmers when the animal abuse scandal broke out at Cargill. I don't know how the small man got caught up in that, but it's the red tape and the bureaucracy. And we all know that big commercial ag controls various states' Department of Ag, and processing is the biggest challenge I face.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Appreciate it, and it's good to be back.
Justin Pitts, rare breed rancher and modern day Noah. Justin Pitts' animals are pastured largely on a diet of grass. True, Justin's Piney Woods cattle have been known to wander into the nearby swamps and nibble a little palmetto leaf as well, but that just adds to their distinctive flavor. If you're a grass-fed beef novice, be prepared to discover a whole new flavor profile that may surprise you at first. Grass-fed beef tastes, well, beefier, and the health benefits are incredible. Grass-fed is lower in fat and calories and has twice as many omega-3 fatty acids, but it must be treated differently than the grain-fed version. Generally, it requires about 30% less cooking time and will be juicier if cooked at slightly lower temps. Argentina has been known for centuries for their grass-fed beef. They like to serve it with a vivid green sauce called chimichurri that's a perfect summertime condiment with any grilled meat. In your food processor or blender, puree a cup of fresh Italian parsley leaves, a half cup of fresh cilantro, a couple of garlic cloves, a half teaspoon ground cumin, and a half teaspoon of salt. Spice it up with 3/4 teaspoon of dried crushed red pepper and finish with a half cup olive oil and a 1/3 cup of red wine vinegar. Allow the chimichurri to sit out on the counter for up to 2 hours so the flavors can marry, or store it in the refrigerator for up to a week. For a copy of this recipe, visit our Louisiana Eats website at wwno.org. I'm Poppy Tooker, and this is Louisiana Eats. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats. Edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Next week, Tim Harlan, also known as Dr. Gourmet.
So I'm here to tell you saturated fat is not bad for you. More saturated fat than good quality unsaturated fats like olive oil and grapeseed oil and nuts and seeds. Too much saturated fat, yeah, that can be bad. But it's not about a low-fat diet. It's not about a low-carbohydrate diet. It's about eating really great food and eating a balance of those great foods.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at wwno.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, and Zatarain's. Additional support provided by Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse, Palace Cafe and the Bourbon House, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cookin' Magazine. Theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes, produced at Piety Street Recording. Thanks to Thomas Walsh, our associate producer and sound engineer. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.